Welcome to Have a Chat. I'm your host, Vaughn Hay. I also practice as a coach in mindset and hypnotherapy, where I help people regulate their stress and emotions to make better decisions and have a clearer outcome in where they want to go. I created this platform, Have a Chat, to get people on to share their story and give us a great insight in what life is all about and all the opportunities we have within our life. It's been a great success so far. I'm looking forward to the future and seeing what other guests and great stories and journeys I hear from my guests. Life is all about working towards our purpose and passion. And as a coach, that's what I focus on, helping people get a clearer path and a clearer vision in where they want to head.
I just didn't see that coming. I didn't think birds would come and attack you, but I think Australia's the only place in the world where a bird will come and attack you. Like, serious, man. Like, yeah. I remember wallabies as well. I was, again, just cycling, and I had some bread in my bag, and then the wallaby just started trying to nick the bread.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, again, I just didn't expect it because I was right there with bread, and the wallaby just came up and nicked the bread, and took a war, but the wallaby won. I mean,
well, if they're hungry, they need a feed.
Yeah, serious, man.
Oh, wow. Well, actually, let's hear a bit about your stuff, your journeys and all that, because you love your endurance racing. It sounds like you love exploring different parts of your own country, but also the world. And, you know, and it sounds like it's through a lot of activities you sort of jump on a bike or go running or so. So, Dave, if you can give us a little bit of insight about, you know, where you've been brought up and, you know, what you've been up to in the life, and give the listeners a good insight.
Oh, cheers, Barney. I'll give it a go. Yeah, so my name's Dave, and I'm from a place called Bakewell, home of the Bakewell tarp. And, actually, it's really great. We have these Bakewell pudding races every year. So you run 5K and you get a Bakewell pudding. So I suppose that's what got me into adventures. And after running for Bakewell puddings, I did a bit of cycling.
If you don't mind me asking.
So the Bakewell pudding is the original. So it's Mr. Kipling's also made a Bakewell tart. So a Bakewell pudding is it's got a cake mix,
yeah,
and then you've got marzipan on the top, and you've got a cherry. It does the job. It does the job after a run.
I could imagine. Yeah. So you're running 5K to get one.
Yeah, that's the one. And we've also got wheelbarrow races as well. So you've got two in a team. You've got one inside the wheelbarrow, then one outside the wheelbarrow. And then 3, 2, 1, go, you sprint. And in the space of about 2 kilometres, you've got 5 pubs. So you go from pub to pub.
Oh, how
and
good.
It does the job. Like, we got pints, and you drink a pint. I think you guys would call it, like, it's like a double schooner sort of thing.
So we've got schooners is our standard drink, and then we've got pints, which are, I think, equivalent to what you guys have, but not a double. It's just a standard pint, I think, we have over here.
Oh, is it a pint of pint?
Yeah, pint of pint. But then we've got schooner glasses as well, which is less than a pint. So I think
you've got the mini as well, haven't you?
Yeah, not that common, the mini, over for us, like in maybe certain little, like, old school pubs, but not now it's just stock standard schooners or pints really for us, but we've had the mini around, but it's just not as, you know, common for us so anymore, so yeah. But we do something similar, I think, fridge to fridge, what you do with the wheelbarrow, maybe, like where we all go to different places, and then we have to stock, the fridge is stocked, and we drink at each place we go to, or a pub crawl, which it sounds like what you do with the wheelbarrow.
I think it's exactly the same. I think it's just you guys need a fridge because it's a bit warmer around your neck of the woods.
Yeah, you guys don't need that.
And I think the beer's a bit warmer as well in England. I think that's another thing. Beer's warm in England, and for you guys have the colder stuff.
Oh, we're not a fan of warm beer.
Yeah. I suppose it just doesn't work. Yeah. Hot weather plus hot beer just isn't a good day.
It's not refreshing. It's not refreshing at all. You want to, when you have that that cold beer after a hot day, you're just like, oh, this is amazing. You know what I mean? So having warm beer, doesn't sit well with us at all. It's just not, it doesn't suit our climate or our, you know, our environment. So I don't know how you guys actually do it, but when you say it's warm, it's probably just room temperature warm, yours, isn't it? It's not like it's, colder the better for us. And we always try to get colder and colder, even at the pubs, they'll get those taps icy cold. So when it pours in that schooner glass, it's, you know, just, It's crystal clear with coldness, hey, and feeling all, it's amazing to drink.
Yeah, I suppose if you're in England and it's like that outside, and then you go back inside and you've got a nice, well, a cold beer, yeah, you want to get away from it. Although we love complaining about the weather, man. We wouldn't have anything to talk about if we didn't have the weather to complain about.
You guys have got a unique type of climate over there, hey? I don't know if I could live in it for a long period of time. I think it'd be too much for me. Hey? I like my sun and I like my beach and everything else.
Yeah, we've got a bit of rain, a bit of overcast, a bit of cloud, a bit more rain.
That's all in one day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, going back to your, so you did a bit of wheelbarrow racing, yeah, and that sort of got you into a bit of fitness as well?
Yeah, I got a bit of exercise, and I did a trip cycling around Wales, which was, it was like 400K, something like that, which took a few days. Which wasn't too bad. And then I did a cycle around Europe, which was 10,000K. So it's 10,000K, that one. So that took...
How long did that take you?
That took 5 months. So what we'd do is we'd just cycle for 5 days, then camp outside the road. So camp, cycle. Then on the fifth day, we'd go into a hostel, just have a shower and wash clothes because you start to smell after a while.
Could imagine.
And then we'd just keep doing that. That was good. Yeah, something to do for 5 months. You've got 5 months spare time, then definitely recommend doing a bit of cycling around Europe. That's cool.
That's amazing. So what would have been the most challenging part of that experience for yourself?
Yeah, I think it gets quite hilly, you know, like around Andorra and that sort of stuff. It's probably like the Blue Mountains sort of height. You've got, 2,500 meter hills.
Yeah.
Which, when you've got all your kit, where it's like bikes can weigh about 50 kg once you've got all your camping kit and all your food. And it's great though, because you can just eat all you want. You know, you can just eat loads of cheese, you know, eat all cereal. And I actually, for the first few months, I ended up getting fat because I just ate too much cheese.
Well, on the ride.
on the ride, I actually put on weight, and people were like, "What? How are you doing this?" And the magic is cheese.
So you must love your cheese. That's what I gather, hey?
Yeah, cheese is great.
Yeah, it is. It is yummy. I couldn't agree. I can agree with that. When you're saying, who'd you do the ride with, and what was the? You just sort of decided to do it, or was it for a charity, or was it for just an event they were running, or how did that come about?
Yeah, no, I did it with two friends. Both of them cycled 5,000K each. And then we did it for three charities, and in the end, we raised £5,000 in total. So I think that was it, like trying to sort of combine the adventures with the charity thing.
Yeah.
Credit purpose around the whole thing. And then the exploring side, which is good. And I think it's just really great for character building. And I mean, just enjoy it.
Oh, I could imagine a perfect character build. Did you plan exactly how you're going to do it, or you sort of just jumped on the bike and went off? Like, you know, I know you raised money and created awareness, but did you have a full plan mapped out of where you're going each day, or sort of just let's see how we feel and, get to a place and then decide from there, or camp on the side of the road?
Yeah, we did a little bit of planning, and we said like which countries we're going to go through and the cities we're going to go through. So we had sort of a rough map.
Yeah.
And we did sort of like look at the roads and stuff. But I think we didn't plan too much. And I think a lot of time we were just unconsciously incompetent. We'd never cycled that sort of distance. We started in Wales, which was a 5 day trip as a training thing. And then it ended up being a 5 month trip. We didn't really know what we were doing, but, again, it's just something to do, and it seemed to work in the end, and we just learned on the way.
Sometimes it's better to learn on the way. Knowing less is better, kind of thing. Because imagine if you had to think about what you're going through and all the pain and all that, and the journey of that would have been quite overwhelming if you sort of thought of that before even taking it on.
That's it. We realized when we were doing that. So when you sort of bought the kit at that point.
Yeah. Could imagine. What was probably your favorite part, most favorite part of the trip?
That bit. I think I wouldn't say it's the I say Croatia's really nice, beautiful, just cycling around that neck of the woods. I say actually in Europe in general, you know, it's just great for cycling because you know, people like understand what cyclists are, you know. Yeah. I remember I did a bit in Australia and in Australia they hate the cyclists, they like that yeah, what are you doing? Just buy a fucking car.
And that sounds like Australia for you. Get off the road, you're blocking the road, let me go through, huh?
Dude, I even remember those learner drivers, man. Those learner drivers, even they were getting pissed off. Oh. You know, the learner drivers, the red peas, the green peas, all your peas. Like, yeah. I think as the peas increased, more pissed off they were.
it is something about bikes in Australia. I don't know. Like, you know, we have a lot of people on the road riding bikes, but they just don't seem like people accept them being on the road compared to probably in the Europe and all that, where it's so common to have bikes and just cruising around, you know, where, you know, as Australians, we love getting out there and doing the riding, but I don't know. It's just sometimes you feel in certain areas on the road unsafe, you know, so you sort of don't want to ride those roads, not because of you, but for the people who are on the road driving as well.
That's it. And I suppose you guys are always having to dodge the ruse and, you know, there's all sorts of things in the road and then you just got an extra obstacle, the fucking cyclist. Like,
it's so easy if we just didn't have the cyclists. We needed all those challenges just to get us, you know, through from one A to B. Oh, no. But, yeah, so you sort of took that on. Did you do much training going into it?
Yeah, a little bit of cycling. It was like cycling to work and back, something like that.
What? How far was that? Wouldn't have been that far, was it?
No, it's about a K or two.
That's your training
like that.
into a
yeah.
Yeah. Ride. That sounds perfect.
Huh? what do you need?
Oh, exactly. What else do you need? Did the body hold up well for you?
Yeah, I think it did all right, man. And like I said, like I put on weight, like there's so much cheese and bread and yeah, I mean, there's so much good food over in Europe and that's it. In England, you know, we've got fish and chips and I don't know, like complexity, like the most sort of complex meal we have is like, there's two items or maybe even three. So fish, chips, mushy peas, so steak and ale pie, meat and potato pie. So yeah, once you get like the free thing, then the meal gets too complex and we just don't have the culinary skills to make it.
But you get over that a bit too, so you'd be excited when you go to these different places and you're like, oh, let's try this or let's have all this, you know, and get creative or, you know, try new options.
And I think, but also I think there's the lack of options because I'd have a cheese and then I'd have the bread and put it together and, you know, just eat it. And then I didn't really know what I was doing with the food. Other than eat it.
So you carry extra weight on the bike and then you put on extra weight yourself. So you're actually working harder than you had to.
Yeah, I suppose when you put it that way. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, eh? But
what type of bike? A road bike or a mountain bike?
It's called a Specialized Tricross. So it's in between like a road bike and a touring bike. So it was like a touring bike. It's like a touring bike. So you can just put your panniers on and you got the comfort of, you know, you've got different angles for your handlebars and it's not like a road racer where you sort of got one of those like super slim bike, you know, seats which just cut your balls off. Yeah. And you know, it's not like one of those. You got more of a low rider and you've got your handlebars a bit higher, clip pedals, that sort of thing.
How did the bump feel after? It would have been pretty tender at some stages, being on the bike for, you know, day after day and then, you know, sitting down just on the night off or at the pub or somewhere on the side of the road. Your bum must have been in a bit of pain, a bit of tension.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look after it, man. Like, look after the bum and the bum will look after you, you know. It's
That's the key, is it? That's the key of the whole trip, huh?
That is the key.
Oh, I love it.
You got it.
after that, what else have you been up to in adventure racing, or what other challenges have you taken on within yourself?
I did like England, so like Land's End to John O'Groats, which is a 1,600K. I've done a bit of Australia from Wollongong, so near Sydney to Melbourne, around Tassie, then Melbourne to Adelaide, which was good ride. And then I did.
Did you do that all in one like go, like one attempt, or was that broken up throughout like a period of time?
Yeah, we did it in 2 months. So again, it was the same thing. So we'd cycle camp. But the difference was between Europe and Australia was the barbecues.
So you're loving the barbecues in that time, huh? You did mention that before when we were just talking at the beginning. But yeah, you're saying how we have barbecues at nearly every. How would you explain how we had barbecues in Australia?
I think they were perfect stop points for cycling, really. You know, those little campsites, you could set your camp up there, and you know, you could have your breakfast in the morning, and you know, maybe you'd cycle down the road, maybe 50K or something, you'd see another one, and you can use that for your lunch, maybe have a roux steak or it's actually a cycling trip of luxury in many ways.
Did you put on weight on this trip as well, I gather?
I think I did. Yeah.
Everyone's probably going, how do you put on weight when you're riding this far for this long? And you're like, well, I'm enjoying the food I'm eating. And especially now with a barbecue in Australia, I'm making the most of that. Eh?
It was great. And I think actually when we're cycling, like in Melbourne, for example, you know, people were really nice and hospitable. And, you know, throughout the journey, people gave us, you know, they were letting us camp in the garden and, you know, giving us snacks on the way. And they must have thought that, I don't know, maybe a fat person needs more food. So, gotta feed the guy. Like, I appreciate it. It was great.
Oh, how good. When you decided to take on this challenge, was that just another, was it for charity again, or was it just a challenge you sort of wanted to take on with a few mates whilst being in Australia?
Yeah, that one was for charity as well. We did it for, for a charity called Aquabox, which makes water filters for, people living in disaster prone areas, you know, where there's a flood or, they've had issues, some sort of disaster. And in fact, there's an Aquabox in Australia as well. It's a Rotary charity, and they make the boxes and they send them to these disaster areas.
Oh, wow. How good. That's amazing. I'm going to look that up and see if, like, you know what I mean? If they're still doing it, I might, you know, jump on board. It'd be cool to go a ride like from Sydney all the way around to Melbourne, down to Tassie, and then back, or across to Adelaide as well. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think, and then you could use the filter and filter the water along the way.
That's good.
I don't know if it does salt water though. I don't think they do salt water these things, but it was a cool thing to do. In fact, I did a similar thing as well for that charity. We went from Singapore to Mumbai. So that was 14,000K.
God, you're a nada. You do all these extreme distances. You just love it, don't you?
Well, I just remain unconsciously incompetent and seems to work. I think that's what I seem to do. Yeah, that's what I've learned so far. Just remain unconsciously incompetent.
Oh, how good. And I'm surprised with what diet would you do it on? So you're on your what you mentioned before, your cheese and all that. What other foods and drinks do you usually do it on? Because that would take a lot of energy out of you doing these long endurance races.
Yeah, I think in Asia they just didn't have much cheese, so I had to sort of adapt, and rice and noodles seemed to be the thing. Over there, and they love it. They love the rice and noodles, so to get on the bandwagon.
And you bought in on them, I gather. Did you enjoy that as much as the cheese on your ride?
I suppose it does the job, doesn't it? But yeah, I've got to be honest. I like the cheese. I do like the cheese. You get. It's all right, but I think next time, if I did it again, I think I probably would try and, you know, take a little, I don't know, like trying a multi-pack of, I don't know, Derry Lee Dunkers or, you know, just make me feel back at home, you know. Oh, I don't know, do you have the Baby Bell cheese?
Is that the round ones?
Yeah.
We do sell them over here, actually. Yeah, I know. I think if the ones I'm thinking of, I think we do have them. Yeah, you love those ones. Do you just eat them on their own?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's great, man. They didn't have as much. They didn't have that much cheese over there. But no, it's really good. It's really good. Really good trip that. And then what else did you? Oh yeah, so that's where I met Luke Kinosh in South Africa.
Yep.
And we did a bike ride from Cape Town to Lake Malawi.
Wow.
Which is like cycling. I suppose it's very similar to Australia. I suppose the animals just get a little bit bigger. You got like the elephants and you got the hippos and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So
was that?
Yeah, I mean,
you're sorry to interrupt, but was that quite safe to cycle around that area of South Africa or?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, just don't camp near the hippos. They just don't like it.
Yeah, they can get quite aggressive, can't they?
For a big
animal, they can move quite quickly.
Yeah, they can, and I think we didn't. Again, we just didn't really know what we're doing. We were cycling at nighttime through a national park in Botswana, and then we went onto this side road, and we didn't know what we're doing. We did have a bit of a light, and then but by the time we got to about 10 meters of we saw this elephant, which was and it noticed us, and it did its ear flapping and stomping, and I think we learned after that. Don't cycle at night in Africa because the animals come out and you can go see them.
You and Luke, hey? That just sums up. I know Luke, and Lucas was the one who introduced me to you, but wow, you two, hey? It's the blind leading the blind there.
I think it was Luke's idea, though. It's got to be Luke's idea.
Wow. So did it with the elephant situation, did anything come about, or you just sort of waited and held back and avoided any, you know, conflict?
No, I think we just waited and then it, well, I was saying we waited. I mean, both were shat our pants. Yep. Shat our pants and sort of froze in fear, thinking, oh, shit. and then it went past and then it actually made us move faster. So then we got faster to the end point. so we didn't fast around after that.
Oh, wow, that's gang. That's gutsy, hey? That's very gutsy. But, wow, so you've done a few. You've done a few, like, more, what would you call them, adventure races or just, that you do some crazy bike rides for long distances. I don't know.
I suppose that's it, just bike rides.
Yeah, and some for charities, some for just self-satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of them have been for charity, yeah.
Awesome.
We did them all for charity. I mean, the last one wasn't a bike ride. It was a run. Yep. So we ran, that was 2 years ago now. We ran 10 marathons in 10 days on the west coast of Ireland, which was, I'd ran a marathon before, but I'd never ran two, like, together. And then, so that was an experience, and I think again, like if I'd have known what was happening, I probably wouldn't have done it. But the one thing I'd say as well is if you want to do the run, then lose the weight because on the cycling you sort of notice it, but you've got wheels under you, so the bell, you know, the momentum sort of takes you up the hill and down the hill. But you know, when you're running, you know, there's no momentum on a belly.
Nah. The joints just don't they? The body joints, you just be like, oh, you know, just putting more load and pressure through me, and it's just hurting. And I could imagine doing 10 in 10 days, the body must have been feeling, you know, broken by the end of that.
Yeah, I didn't lose weight. I probably put on a bit of weight. I think it was the Guinness.
Oh, were you drinking a few Guinnesses on the way just to keep the carbs up, the carb levels, just to keep that energy level going, hey? Is that how you
The iron optimization as well, you know, all those micro nutrients. It's a superfood over there, the Guinness.
So let's go back. How did this all start? So you decided to do one marathon, or you decided to do 10, or you just how did it all come about? And then, yeah, let's talk about your diet of having Guinness, if that helped you through it, but also put on weight for you at the same time.
Yeah, Vaughn, I think I'm going to really disappoint you with this, because I think it was just a case of in the pub, someone said, how many marathons can you do in how many days? And then we just came up with 10 marathons in 10 days.
Really? It was a pub challenge.
Yeah. I suppose a great idea has come up in the pub.
How many schooners or pints were you down by when you said, yeah, this is a great idea, huh?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, so you weren't thinking clearly. And then once you realize you've committed to this, what you just was like, let's do it.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, I didn't kept running, did a lot of running, and again, never did a marathon, but just doing a little bit of running every day. Started with 5K and did that most days, 6K, 7K. I think we ended up getting to a half marathon during the training, but it's just more sort of continuous stuff just to get the sort of ligaments, sort of ready for something. But I mean, they weren't really ready. I mean, the ligaments and the knees were a bit buggered at the end of it. Not too bad now, but at the time, feeling it.
Wow. I couldn't imagine. So 10 marathons, which is 42K. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
42K. So you did 10 lots of that over 10 straight days. Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. That's incredible. Like, just doing one's an achievement, but doing 10, people would be like, what the hell? But so just doing that training, getting up to just half a marathon through training, and then you just led into doing your first one, second one. What was the hardest or the challenging, most challenging aspect of the whole thing?
So I think we ran, I ran with a mate called Chris Jones, and he was a lot fitter and sort of more ready to do this. But, it's just unfortunate that in marathon 6.5, his knee went. His knee just went. So, yeah, I think that really hit my morale, that. So, that next marathon was really, really tough. That was really hard, because we're also, when we were running along that West Coast, on that day, we actually got a boat to cycle, to run a marathon around one of the islands. And I also, mentally as well, there's wind everywhere, rain, and we're just going around in a circle. I mean, I don't really know what the fuck we were doing anyway, but that marathon, we're running around in circles, literally. Yeah,
was he still? Oh, is this before Jones? What is his name? Did you say no?
Chris.
Chris.
Chris Jones.
Was he running on that leg, or he'd had to pull out before that?
Yeah, he pulled out on that bit because he was cycling, and the whole team sort of kept together, and I mean that was the key thing. The team was like really strong, and a lot of camaraderie going, and
which you need. It was great. Yeah, in that time,
great team.
Yeah, but yeah, running around in continuous circles isn't really stimulating, is it? You know what I mean? And it can play mental battles on you too, because you're just seeing the same things all the time, where if you're running from one point to another point, it's sort of, it creates a different focus and mind, intention on that run, because you're changing your landscape a little bit, so it doesn't give you, those thoughts of continuous rethinking and going, oh, I've done this, and trying to then psych yourself out of doing it, So that would have been a tough leg for you to do out of the 10 marathons.
Yeah, I think you've knocked the nail on the head there. That was tough. And I think that, just don't think too much, just do. And eventually sort of get to the finish line. And we got there. So we're going to do another one, actually, Barney. You can join us on the next one.
Yeah, you're doing another 10 in 10 days.
Well, it's 350K in 10 days. So it's a bit, 350.
What's
350 miles in 10 days.
So what's 3Ks? That would be
1.6K for each mile.
Oh,
so
okay.
So 350 times 1.6. I'm not sure. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, no, sorry to keep you up.
I'm not sure. No, I'm good. I'm good. It's just I'm not quite, I can't calculate this stuff.
560K. Does that sound right?
560K. Yeah. We're doing that. So that. So we're going to follow the route of the what the first marathon man did. So when the Persians, it was starting Greece, and when the Persians came to Marathon, you know, when they landed in Greece, they sent a messenger to run from Greece, Athens, sorry, to Sparta to get reinforcements, and then ran back to Athens, and there, which is so 150 miles there, 150 miles back. He didn't get any reinforcements, which wouldn't have been that great. So he then had to go to Marathon and tell him, you know, do the battle. You're not getting reinforcements. Did the battle, then he ran back, said he won, and yeah, he died afterwards. But we're not going to do the dying bit.
Wow, that'd be awesome, hey? And with the backstory behind it too, the history of it, that'd be pretty cool and pretty.
Hey, you could join us, Vaughn. We're going to do it in the Easter. Next year.
Well, if we can travel, I'd have to do some training. I reckon, you've got a few miles in your legs before I have, so I'd have to get those joints and those ligaments warmed up and really used to a bit of travel. So how many days did you say it would be?
10 days.
10 days. Wow. Yeah, that'd be awesome. And so you said, you mentioned the last one you had Guinness. Was that your sort of your diet, your main substance to get you through the race?
Yeah, I think there was that. And what did they have? Yeah, I can't remember much else, to be honest.
Oh, wow. And the conversation where it all started in the pub, who was it? Was it with just some punter, or was it with one of your mates of like, let's do it? Like, how did that all end out at the end when you've finished your 10 marathons in 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, so the guy who came up with the idea, he was the guy who did the filming for the, you know, the other trips, because we did like a bit of filming on the way. Yeah, he came up with the idea, and he came up with the Greece thing. So he seemed to come up with the ideas, and I just say yes.
You're his guinea pig. Yep, I'll do it. Yep, I'll do it. Hey, what are we doing? Oh, don't worry. Just meet me here and do this. He must love you, hey? But I love the attitude of that open mind. Don't overthink it and just get out there and give it a good crack. I think that's a perfect attitude to have. Outside doing these, people would say extreme challenges. What do you do besides, you know, doing these challenges, like work-wise or just in general, you know, day-to-day living?
Yeah, I don't really know, Vaughn, to be honest.
Perfect. No, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, I don't really know. Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm a statistician for the government. So, you know, with Brexit and stuff, there's stats going on. They need more stats on stuff. So I do some sort of stats thing. And then we've got a startup going. We actually recently we got a 100K grant to develop the project. So it's an app to help people reduce food waste. So it gives you recipe suggestions based on the food you got. It helps you sort of manage your food and tells you, oh, your fish is going to expire. Maybe you can do this with it. Or, all sorts. Like maybe your cheese is going to expire. I mean, because you can't have fucking cheese expiring, can you? Because it's just, it's a bad day.
In your place, it definitely won't happen because it'd be way finished before it even got to the expiry date. You would have finished it on to your next packet.
Yeah, we don't need it for the cheese, but I think we're gonna test it. We've got more funding to develop it, and which is going really well. And I think something's happening there.
That's awesome. No, that's exciting. And growing up, what were some of the things you enjoyed doing? Like sort of what was your hobbies when growing up?
Yeah, good question. I live in the Peak District. So, you know, I live in a sort of quite a rural place. I wouldn't say it's that rural for you guys. It's not like you got, you know, kangaroos coming out your back garden or like crocodiles or whatever, but you know, it's I suppose we're not being in the city, you've got to think of things to do. A bit of running and a bit of cycling. I used to really like chess for some reason. Chess is a cool game. I suppose the outdoor stuff and that was the thing. Like you know, compared to the city people. Like, you, if you're in the outdoors all the time, then you know, you get, start to like the outdoors. I mean, can't really do other things in the outdoors, but yeah, outdoors are cool.
Yeah, yeah, I could. Yeah, no, and that's a great thing. Did you have siblings growing up where you did a lot of things with each other, or it was you just sort of, yeah? How did that, and neighbourhood as well, like in a small rural area that you would have probably been a close community, I would gather.
I had a dog, and I have two goldfish as well.
The goldfish would have offered a lot.
Yeah, that's it. We had great times playing cards and all that jazz.
Yeah. Oh, how good. How good. And so your next adventure you're looking to do is next year? Is that in Greece? Is that what your next challenge is you're looking at?
Yeah, that's the next one. So we're happening, hopefully, Easter 2022.
Yep.
And then we'll aim to make a film similar to the one which we did for the island one. So the island one, I think, well, you can probably find it on Amazon, or you just type in Dave Goes West. So yeah, that film was, yeah, just about not really know what you're doing, but then doing something. And I think we're going to do something with the Greek one, but actually this time we'll have more of a story. Last time we were sort of running for running, and we were raising money for charity, but this time we're going to follow the route which the marathon man did. So I think it's got more of a story. It's going to be more interesting, more miles. And I think it might get a bit hot. There's some more hills and Greek people, which are cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And how many of you would be taking on that challenge? A few of you?
Yeah, that's you're coming, Vaughn.
Well, so yeah, I'm one of them now. So yeah, it's me and you at least, hey? But yeah.
That's it. We'll get Luke on board as well.
Take on that challenge with you, besides us two, hey?
Yeah, I think, we're still recruiting there, Vaughn. So
We've got time.
It's all right.
Yeah, no rush. We don't need to rush into these things, hey? But yeah, no, I actually would be quite interested in doing something. It'd be quite a challenge, but I think it'd be a great challenge to achieve, you know? And like you said, try not to overthink it. Like, I think that's a really key message out of what you've been doing. You sort of just, let's do it and let's, you know, see what happens, you know, and don't put too much expectation or pressure on yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Don't think, just do.
Yeah, that's a great attitude to have. Have you always had that attitude and that approach in most things in life?
Yeah, I suppose it's more because I don't think and I just do.
Yeah.
I haven't really. It's not really been an approach. It's just maybe I don't really think much. I just do it.
That's perfect. It's the perfect approach. I think it'd be great if it is a society or in the world if we thought less about stuff. You know what I mean? Because I think we overanalyze and all. I think it was an episode in The Simpsons once. I can't remember, but Homer goes, "Don't think," or something. It was something where, you know, and I think we think way too much, and it stops us doing the things we want to do and take on these challenges because we sort of overcome ourselves with emotion and fear and, you know, all those other, you know, beliefs we create around certain things. But if you don't think about it, well, you can't, they don't exist. So then you can keep achieving or taking on those new challenges without even having too many hurdles to overcome on the way.
That's it. I think we've got to think at some point, but I think you need another guy to on the podcast to talk about the thinking. I'm here for the no thinking.
I like it. No, I definitely like it. And I think you've done well. And it's intriguing in how you've achieved so much and some big achievements, you know, like they're big distances and, you know, people would be like, wow, like how impressive and all that too. But you seem like you take it as it comes and you sort of go, yep, I've done that. Appreciate it. Move on. And let's go to the next one. And, you know, do you ever reflect on any of the past events or activities you've done and go, wow, that was a good achievement? Or you just in the moment, enjoy it, you know, have a few beers to celebrate and then move on?
Yeah, I think it's, it's good. I suppose it's good. Yeah, maybe good to think about stuff. I suppose, okay, so like we you know, the trips, and I think we've sort of, we're from starting with the Europe trip, got a few more people who joined us, you know, the cameraman and, you know, the film guy and photographer. And so we just steadily sort of built up this team and sort of built up the momentum. Starting off the first one didn't really get anywhere, the film. The next one, we didn't really get that far, but we showed it at a local cinema, which was cool. And then the last one, it did a little bit better. We put it on Amazon, and we got it on like Runner's World. They paid to show it on their thing, and we got a Brazilian TV station, which I don't know how. Well, I don't even know how it works. Like trying to change the English lyrics to Portuguese over there. I don't know how that would work.
Or something, or is it subtitles?
Yeah, I don't know, or maybe a voiceover. I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, with the accent too. Hopefully a voiceover with an accent.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. So I think we're trying to sort of build up some momentum. And I think, we seem to be getting better at the running or cycling, or whatever. We're getting a bit better at the filming and just making the missions bigger and better each time.
Yeah. That's it. Keep challenging yourself and keep growing from it. That's awesome. And will it mostly be cycling and running? Because I gather that's probably what you enjoy the most. But yeah, I'm trying to think what other activities would be, something quite extreme and be able to do something like you do. But probably running and cycling are the two best forms of transport in this environment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we were thinking of, it's still cycling, but one idea we had was, going across the Australian desert.
From WA.
So what we were thinking of doing was maybe like making a little chariot bicycle. So having a few of us cycle, carrying this man playing a grand piano, and then we take him to the Sydney Opera House. And I think if we keep on cycling, then after a while, I think the piano man will play some interesting tunes. So when we get him to the Sydney Opera House, I think he'll play a really interesting tune.
Wow. When did you come up with that? The Nullarbor we're talking about, aren't we? The Nullarbor Road? Is that the one we're talking about?
Actually, that might be a little bit, maybe a bit too long. I think we're actually thinking more from Adelaide to
Sydney.
Adelaide to Sydney.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be, yeah, okay. That's still a long distance, but that's pretty cool. Well, how'd you come up? I reckon that would be an amazing event, hey?
Yeah, I just really want to hear what the piano man plays. at the end of it.
That's what you want to get out of it, just to see what he comes up with. You don't know what it is until he gets there. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Huh? You'll have to get a pretty cool piano man as well.
Yeah, that's. Can you play piano, Ron?
Nah, I wouldn't be able to fill that role for you. I don't really have the. I wish I did. I wish I was able to play music, musical instruments, but I just don't think I have the touch for it. So it's a great skill to have, and sometimes you just wish you could just pick up a guitar and just play a few tunes, but it's just not for me. But I love listening to live music. I think it's one of the best things.
Yeah. Well, if you find a guy who can play grand piano, yeah, let us know.
I can work on that for you. I'll work on that. That's my job, hey? I'll find someone over here and who would be interested and willing to participate in this event, and we can start.
Yeah, then we get on the bike and cycle.
Well, we'd have to have a little trailer set up at the back for him, won't we, or something to tow him along?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So like this sort of chariot, which you've got maybe four, five cyclists sort of pulling this thing at the back. So like you said, like some sort of trailer.
Yeah.
And it has to be big enough for this piano and the guy playing the piano. I haven't really thought about the uphills and downhills. You haven't got a huge amount of uphills and downhills in the desert bit, have you? I think you've just got them sort of leading up to mostly flatten it.
Yeah. But we will have some inclines. We'll just have to pedal quicker.
Yes, it.
Yeah. We'll have to just work harder to get up it, So and we'll just make sure the piano man or woman's not too heavy. Because we will have to, carry a bit of excess weight with the piano as well. So we'll just have to make sure that we pick the right person. Hey?
That's the one. That's it. You got it.
Oh, how good. Oh, I reckon that'd be pretty cool. You get a few Aussies would love that too. They'd get around that for sure. That's a great event, and it's quite Aussie alike as well. Just getting on a pushy, towing someone in the back, and then getting him to play some music at the end.
And I think if we did it, I don't know. I mean, it's going to get hot in the daytime, isn't it? So we'd have to do it at night.
Well, you could, depending on the time of the year as well. Do you know what I mean? Like we're pretty good with the climate. You know, like now we're going into well, we're in autumn now. But you know, this is probably not a bad time of the year to do it. You know, if we're looking when you time for heat wise, because it's still got a bit of warmth in the air, but it's not overly hot. You know, and then the nights get a bit colder, but they're not freezing. So you could sort of, you know, have that good balance. I'd say this is the best time of the year to do it if you're going to do it. So yeah, we'll keep that in mind as well.
Sounds good.
All right, mate, appreciate you coming on and giving us a bit of insight in some of these extreme challenges you've taken on. I applaud you in doing them too, because they are amazing. And I love the attitude of, you know, don't think, just do. And I think that makes all the difference. And it doesn't hold you back in, you know, not trying these new challenges and giving it a good crack. And I can see just with talking to you, the joy you've got out of all of them, and they've all given you different, you know, challenges in the way and different perspectives, but you've overcome them and achieved them. So congratulations.
Hey, well, appreciate it, Vaughn, and thanks for having me today. It's been great.
No, thank you. I'll finish off. I like two questions I always like to ask the guests. First one, what gives you purpose?
That's really good. What purpose? It's really broad. I can't really sort of put my finger quite on it, but I suppose doing stuff and making things happen and sort of contributing positively to something.
That's all. That's perfect. That's a good purpose. And that's what you're doing, aren't you? In all these events and activities and charity rides and runs you're doing. So, you know, and probably outside of that too. So, mate, keep doing it, because it's a great purpose to have. Last of all, favorite destination you've been to and you'd like to go to?
Oh, favorite destination. Sorry, I'm really slow.
Because it's a question you're like, oh, you know, you're not expecting to have, but it's always interesting to find what, you know, where people have been or where they'd like to go, you know, within their own country or around the world. It's quite an intriguing one, and people come up with different ones all the time.
That's a really good one. I tell you what, actually, I really like Borneo with the rainforest. Like that was really cool, and orangutans cool, and that sort of stuff was cool. Places I want to go, I like Machu Picchu and those places. Again, it's the walking, exploring, and that sort of stuff. I think hopefully one day I'll be living in Australia as well. I want to give it a go, give it a crack in Australia, living there.
I think you'd love it over here. You'd fit in well. Well, you've been over here previously, so you're aware of the, you know, how it is. But I think you'd love it. And just traveling around the whole of Australia, you know, to see the whole lot, I think that would really sit well with you. You know what I mean? Like, and a great experience, because, you know, you said you mentioned you went up north to Cairns, but you could do the whole trip around Australia if you really wanted to and explore. You know, I'd love to do so much to explore in our own backyard, and as Australians, we probably don't utilize that as much, but yeah, I'd love to explore a lot more of Australia, you know, because we've got so many different places, little islands as well, and all the states have different things to offer. We're all different in and unique in different ways. So it's worth, when you're over here, I think it'd be ideal for you, you know, get out there and explore.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I mean, Steve Irwin, like, absolute legend. Like, love that guy. And I think, yeah, he really, really sold it to me. And the accent's great as well. I just think the Australian accent's really cool. And the barbecue thing, that you guys got such a strong barbecue game. you play the barbecue game pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And you got good weather as well. To do the barbecues, do the exploring, and all that jazz. Yeah, we get rain every day.
Yeah.
great chat with you, Vaughn, and look forward to seeing you in the skin hopefully soon.
Yeah, sounds good, mate. I look forward to it. Say hi to Luke as well for me, hey, and have a beer with him. Hey, he's a character. Tell him he's a top bloke.
Will do. All I'll right, say. Yeah. Cheers, man. Have a good one.
See you, Dave. All the best.